as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
I want to welcome Sandhya Gokul. She's a pharmacist and healthy eating and nutrition coach dedicated to bringing fun to healthy eating, making it a superpower. She loves finding little cheat codes that power up her healthy eating superhero journey, including how to be financially savvy along the way. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, Monica. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and, you know, how you got to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a pharmacist and health eating coach, like you said. And in 2017, I actually did a financial education course by a company called Skilled Smart. And that really made me look at my, like, money spending habits and saving habits and how I manage my money. And when it came to 2019, where I actually got diagnosed with pre-diabetes and I had to really flip my whole eating journey around, I used a lot of those things that I learned in that journey as well, because I was able to really use what I valued, which obviously is like health and eating really well in that time space, but also apply all those financial tips that I got from the course and that I actually picked up along the way, because I like finances kind of turned into a little bit of a hobby for me, which is always a really fun thing to like look into now. And I love like reading, you know, budgeting tips and how people are able to like hack their finances and find little cheat codes and things like that.
Nice. Thank you. Thanks for the intro. So how do you weave financial tips into healthy eating? What you mentioned a little bit about how you got started with that, but how do you find that it fits well together?
Well, a lot of looking at finances is looking at your values and adjusting your spending based on that. And for me, health was a huge value. I'm a pharmacist. I love being a pharmacist and I love advising people on their health. And so when it came to my own health, I knew that if I was able to maximize that space and make sure that everything was in alignment, so the way I spent on health, how I maintained my health so I wouldn't have to spend on the other side when I was sick. So they were the two things that I really focused on. So what I started doing was really evaluating what worked in my own healthy journey, specifically around my eating and food, and what I could remove. And a big thing that you often hear in like the financial space is cut out your coffee. Well, that wasn't actually even a problem for me because I never drank coffee. So I was like, damn, I can't use that little cheat code because I don't drink coffee. So it was different. It was different ways for me. But one of the things I found that specifically around mindful eating is once I started becoming really mindful about my eating, and keep in mind, mindful eating is just eating without distractions and I guess being really aware of what you're putting into your body. I found that I was eating a lot less. And so that was one of the big things that changed because the minute I started actually really looking at what I was putting into my body, my budget for food came way down because I was putting way too much in there and I didn't need. And on the other side, I was kind of spending money on like things to make me feel better because I was eating too much. So that was one of the big cheat codes I found with healthy eating in general, because the minute you start being mindful about your food, you will probably start noticing that a lot of the way you spend money around food is going to change. And that could be different things. Like it could be, you know, buying a little bit more of the vegetables and fruits that a lot of people think are really expensive, but there are ways to do that as well on a budget. It could be cutting out takeout foods or eating out because you find that it's no longer giving you the same joy that you used to have, or it might, when you start being mindful about it, you might notice that it's not treating your body the way you want to treat it. So potentially you're starting to feel sick when you're eating out a lot. And that's something we can kind of brush over a little bit because it tastes good. So it's really easy to be like, oh, I feel a little bit sick, but it's fine because it tastes good. So that's definitely one of them as well.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm actually doing a mindful eating little workshop coming up in June. And I'm so glad you brought this up because I think definitely our emotions are tied to a lot of our eating habits. So it's really interesting that you brought that up. And also just being aware, I think it's an awareness like, oh, okay, I'm putting this in my body. How does it actually taste? What is it? What's its texture? What kind of thing does it bring up when I eat it? How do I feel about myself? You know, food as an inherent thing is neither good nor bad. Food is just food. It's what we attach to it that creates like a story that we have in our emotions. And we can, it kind of starts playing out when we start diving too much into like, what does it mean? Food is just food.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, if I get a craving to eat some chips, like, okay, so what? You know, like I'm going to eat chips I like chips, sorry. But yeah, it's really interesting that you brought that up. But yeah, so you have a pharmacy background. Have you found, and it sounds like you really enjoy that job, and do you know more about health and nutrition now than before you started, or was it just kind of like a growth pattern after being a pharmacist for a while, or how did that work?
It was kind of both. So as a pharmacist, we do a lot of like eating programs, specifically around weight loss, but also around lifestyle changes for cholesterol and blood pressure and blood glucose. So I already had a massive interest in that. That was kind of one of the areas I really liked being in charge of and helping patients with, because I had such a passion for food in general. And a lot of people would come to me like, I love food. I don't want to be stopping eating food. How do I juggle, you know, my weight loss and my improving all my health parameters with the fact that I love food? And so that was something I took a lot of pride in. And I found it really fun just to be able to marry those two things together. But on the other side, when I became a healthy eating coach a few years ago, I actually started really looking into it, and it's so fascinating to me the way food works. It's so interesting because every single food that is here on the planet has some nutritional value. And so certain foods are obviously more nutritionally complete than others, but the idea that foods weren't good or bad, I'm sure all of us have been brought up with that idea. This is kind of a new generational thing, and the flipping that on its head, like you said, is just, it's a complete game changer. And so just when I had to do my own research for like around the whole idea of being a healthy eater and what it actually means, it was just really interesting. And it was definitely a growth pattern as well. I did end up changing a lot of my own food habits. And ironically, It gave me permission to be less strict around what I ate, which is a really great thing. Because I think a lot of people, when they think of healthy eating and when they think of healthy food, feel like it's a be all or end all. Like it has to be all or nothing. You can't have processed foods while you're on a healthier eating journey. Well, you can. You can absolutely. There's a place for that. But it's about taking away that emotional attachment to it, exactly like you said.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think, I always say balance is a moving target. So if you are on this journey to maybe eat different foods, I won't say healthy, because I think that can be really activating when you say, oh, I'm going to eat healthy. But if you say, I'm going to eat different foods than what I used to eat, I think that's a little bit more of a courageous space to be in. And so I don't know where I was going with this, but I think you were talking about, I know what I was going to say. How have you found diet culture and the whole time? And that could be a whole another podcast. But diet culture that has been steeped into so many generations, and how that can be a part of releasing some negative stereotypes and conditioning that a lot of us were programmed into believing things about how we look or how we eat or things like that. It's really very toxic, diet culture. But do you find that there might be like a little bit of a shift going on with eating and diet culture?
Yeah, there's a massive shift. So especially on social media, you see a lot of people who are in the health and fitness space moving away from using the word diet or being really clear about what the word diet means, because a diet is not restriction and a diet is not depriving yourself of things. A diet is actually just what you put in your body. Like that's actually what it means. And that's why when you want help with what you're eating, you go and see a dietitian, because they are designed, they're people there who are like specifically there to help you design a diet that suits you. And so I think diet culture has really taken a shift. A lot of people are much more aware of the fact that diets can really mess with your metabolism. In fact, like there's, whenever you involve yourself in a diet, like as a restrictive thing, you actually gain back the weight up to 10%. And that to me, like I've always been really against diets since I was a kid. I'm a bit of a rebel in that sense. Like every time someone was like, you must diet and you must change the way you eat like this, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't want to be like subjected to all this, restriction and deprivation. I'm not going to deprive myself of the things I eat. So I think diet culture, like you said, is really toxic, but a diet itself is not toxic. A diet is just what you eat. So I think moving away from the idea of diets being about deprivation is definitely important, but reframing this idea of the word diet as something you is just describing, it's a very neutral word. It just describes what you eat. I think that's definitely a shift that needs to happen in a person's mind when they start changing their eating habits. And unfortunately, that can be really difficult because, like you said, it's very steeped in the media, in, the way we perceive what looks good, what feels good. And the fact that there are so many products out there on the market that are diet products. They are like, you've got, Diet Coke, you've got all of these low fat, low sugar products. And often when you look at those, they are not as healthy as the alternatives. In fact, they're worse for you than the alternatives. So it's really important to be able to like identify what your diet is actually putting into your body. So yeah, I think it definitely is, it needs to shift in your mind. I think the hardest bit is not actually outside, it's internal. If you tell someone you're on a diet, automatically they assume that you are depriving yourself. Have you ever noticed that? Like if someone says, oh, I'm on a diet, everyone's like, oh, that just automatically assumes you're not eating sugar or you're not eating
cake. Sorry for you. Oh, yeah. You poor thing. I feel for you.
Yeah.
I could never do that. Like, oh, please. Yeah. It is a very loaded word. And I'm glad that you brought that up. Not only is the word diet loaded, but the word healthy is loaded. And I think it just, it's some like majestic thing out in the ether that really should just, we should not be attached to, because the meaning has become twisted because of the toxic diet culture.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. And also when you look at certain influencers on social media and they all have this perfect body type, thank goodness that that is, I have seen a shift in that over the past few years where it's finally changing. Different body types are being accepted. And I think that's so powerful. And it's so enlightening to see that. And it's like, because I'm older and I did not grow up with that. And I didn't have an eating disorder, but, and it's a miracle I did not have an eating disorder because of some of the things that were just indoctrinated into me when I was young. Luckily, I loved to eat so much. You know, like I was able to get past that, but I knew many people that had eating disorders. So there are so many, I just want to mention right here, since we're talking about that, there are so many resources out there for people, and it's definitely not a light subject. And if a listener is kind of in that space, know that there's so much help out there for you to understand it and get support around it. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but I just wanted to mention that.
I will just add, healthy eating or eating to suit your body can be a little bit of an isolating journey, because with like the traditional diets, you feel a sense of community because you've got other people with you doing the same thing you're doing. Whereas when you go on your own and you are creating your own eating patterns, your own eating habits, your own eating journey, that can be isolating because not everyone's going to agree with you. So for people in an eating disorder, that is one of the elements that I'd really encourage you to just connect with someone and talk to them about what you're eating and what you're feeling, because once you start disentangling those two things, you'll find that a lot of and feeling that sense of connection with someone else, that can really help break free of those patterns. So I think that's really important to know as well.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I think you hit on that very well, that community and a sense of support for a situation like that. When you're in that space, it's a very vulnerable place to be. And you can really reach into some courage and some bravery by reaching out to others and finding some support. And I can only imagine how scary that is. But I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, definitely. And then you have some financial mindset information that you'd like to share, and maybe some tips. And you said you've got some little cheat codes. And so I'm interested what this is all about. I wonder if you could share that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first tip that I have is really look at your values. What do you value in your life? And start adjusting your finances to suit that. So for example, health is a huge value for me. But I previously was eating a lot of takeout and things that I really didn't want to include in my food journey. So like a lot of chocolate mousse in particular. Oh my God, I was like obsessed with it at some point. And when I really sat down to it, I was like, if health is such an important value to me, why am I spending my money on the things that I don't value? And so that was a huge shift for me, because it just meant that I wasn't restricting or restraining myself from buying things. It was just about a shift of perspective and saying, well, those things aren't serving me anymore. They're not really things that I want to be putting into my body, even though they taste good. There's something that probably tastes the same or better that's actually giving me a lot more of the nutrition I need. So that's the first tip. The second tip is never go to the shops hungry. And I'm sure people have heard this one before, but the psychological impact of this one is hilarious. So I did an experiment because I'm, you know, pharmacist, scientist, I love experimenting. I actually did an experiment where I would only go to the shops hungry for like a month. Oh my God, I would buy ridiculous amounts of things and then I would chuck them out because I didn't want them. So when I actually was in my right state of mind, sorry, you were going
to
say something.
I'm laughing because I went to the grocery store hungry last night Oh, I bought a little thing of sushi, and then I bought like some chips, and I bought a chocolate bar. I'm totally laughing. I'm on mute, but I'm just laughing because I'm like, yeah, I've been there. We've all been there.
Yeah,
that is a great tip. Eat something, preferably high fat, high protein, before you go into the grocery store. I will say, this is my tip I'm going to add on. Because I'm a big proponent of high protein and high fat. It doesn't work for everyone. And I'm certainly not giving medical advice, but just dig into less carbs. Carbs are still good. We need carbs, obviously, for energy and that sort of thing. But I started keeping a jar of nut butter in my car and taking like a couple tablespoons before I go into the grocery store keeps me from buying stupid junk and putting stupid junk in my grocery cart.
Oh my God, Monica, I do that too. I love my peanut butter. I have like jars in the cupboard so I can like put them wherever I need to.
It's so quick. And I just eat like 2 tablespoons and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I will not buy a bunch of junk. And it works. So there we go.
So actually, there's a scientific reason behind that. We're going a little bit off topic, but if you eat a high fat snack before when you're having sugar cravings, it gets rid of sugar cravings. So that's why, because those fat foods, the high fat, the healthy fats, so the ones like nuts, yogurt, cheese, all of those ones, right? They actually hit the same dopamine receptors as sugar does in your brain. So if I definitely use that tip, because if you just have, it doesn't have to be a huge snack, just a tiny bit of healthy fat and high protein before you go to the shops, you're not going to be craving all those sugary foods. Therefore, you'll not put them in your shopping cart. So definitely, that is a great tip.
It works for me. I also discovered, this is so good, I discovered maple walnut butter the other day. And it's, they had like vanilla and there's so many good nut butters out there. Like, I need to eat more of these. These are really good. Super healthy too.
Yes. Oh, they are. They're really good. And they just kind of hit the spot as well when you're just needing something. The third tip I have is plan your meals. And I know this is something a lot of people struggle with, because meal planning does require a little bit of time. But even if it's on a daily basis, so I'll be honest, I don't do grocery shopping in a week, because I found that I was wasting a lot of food, because food would go off in the fridge. And I am not the main cook in my family. My husband is. So if he decided that he didn't want to cook with something, then it would just go to waste. So what we actually now do is just meal plan every single day. It's a 5-minute job. We just say, this is what we're making today. And one of us goes to the shops. And that can be a real game changer, because when you go to the shops for a specific meal, you tend not to buy extraneous things, because you're there with a purpose. You're there in a short span of time, and you really just are focused on exactly what you want. So that's another really great tip. If you're trying, you're on a nutritional journey and you want to save a little bit of money and not, buy things that are not really in the plan. So that's a really great one as well. The last cheat code I have is automate your finances. So this is not necessarily a healthy eating tip, but I do really believe in this, because you can apply it to like food shopping as well. If you automate your finances, and by that I mean your pay goes into a big account, and then that account automatically sends money to other accounts, for example, spending, saving, emergency fund, mortgage, and anything that you need to pay off, bills is another one, and yourself, like your spending, I guess. So those buckets, if you can automate that, then you're not going to be tempted to spend a lot of money on things that you're not, that you can't really afford, because they're not in your budget. Does that kind of make sense? Like, when you go to the shops, you won't be tempted to spend $200 buying things that are not really going to be eaten in your household, or really not on your like eating journey, because you just don't have the money to spend on that. You've already allocated that money. So I think that's a really great one, because a lot of people spend more money than they have, particularly with credit cards and things like that, because they're not aware of how much they're spending and how much they have. So by automating your finances, you kind of you're setting a budget without even thinking about it.
That's a great tip. And I just want to throw in Amazon. The convenient little Amazon app that's on everybody's phone, and they knew this when they created it. Like, oh, I just need this $2 thing. Oh boy, I'm gonna throw that in as wow. We could all be just more aware of that. But thanks for those tips. Yeah, those are great codes to live by for sure. And you have speaking of codes, so you have a Facebook group. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I have a Facebook group called the Cracking the Consistency Code. It's all about being consistent on healthy habits. So I'm in there every single day. So if you really want to connect with me and or ask anything about what we do, or if you have a question about your own consistency journey and your health journey, feel free to drop by there. I'll always be answering questions, and I love chatting with people. And then I've also got a couple of freebies on my website as well. So you can find, so with the way I coach, I love connecting people's fun styles to their healthy eating journey, because I think making something fun, and this applies to like the finance space as well. If you make something fun, it just becomes a game. It's not a chore anymore. So I think that's a really important thing to do. And if you want to know your fun style, you can go and check it out. You get like a full report, which actually gives you actionable tips on how to apply those fun styles to your own journey, your own goals. Doesn't have to be a health goal, any goals. And there's also some free cheat codes as well, just to create new habits and really fast track your habit journey.
And that's on your website.
Yes.
It's your fun style, you said? Fun style?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. I think we all could use a little bit more fun in our lives. Well, this has been really, really interesting. I like what you have to say about financial mindsets. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that being healthy is a bit expensive. So I think I wanted to touch on this a little bit, because one of the most common things I hear is, oh, it's really expensive to eat healthy. And it's really expensive to buy the things I need to, you know, really should be eating. So I'm going to stick with convenience foods. But there's two ways to look at this. So first of all, you can hack the system a little bit and buy the foods that are still going to give you the nutritional value without breaking your budget. So for example, fresh vegetables are expensive. There's been a really big shift in cost of living, especially in Australia. I don't know about other countries, but here it's getting much more expensive to buy healthy food. But frozen vegetables are a great alternative, because they are snap frozen and they give you the same nutritional value or similar nutritional value, and they can actually mimic the look and feel of convenience food. So if you're transitioning from being someone who eats out and eats convenience foods a lot to someone who wants to eat a little bit more nutritionally, that can be a really great way to transition into that. So that's one. The other side of it is, you're not spending money now on your health, but you're going to spend money later on your health. So I really think that that should be a consideration. Looking at the long term doesn't work for everyone, but for those people who can really visualize what it will be like in the future, and I guess really feel the strain that it will put on your finances when you're not healthy, when you're sick, that can be a really great motivator to change your habits now as well. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I wanted to ask real quick before we close up, do you do any work with Ayurveda and the dosha style of eating? Have you had any of your, I was actually just looking this up. There's a dosha type quiz, and I think it is through, I'm looking it up right now. Can't find it, of course, because I don't have it saved. But anyway, there's a free quiz out there. You can just Google it. Of course, now I'm looking it up and there's like a zillion, and it's not the one that I wanted. But anyway, love Google, but hate it sometimes. Anyway, there's a free dosha quiz out there, and you can take it and it will tell you what your eating style is for your type. And I've taken it a couple of times. It never really changes for me. And it kind of answered the question as to why I didn't like too many cold vegetables because I like my vegetables cooked. And I just wanted to throw that in there because if someone is saying, oh, well, I'd eat more salad, but I don't like raw vegetables. Well, maybe it's just not right for your type. Maybe you're the kind of person that likes to cook their vegetables. So look at vegetable sautés. You don't have to eat salad. Nobody's telling you, you got to crunch down a bunch of raw carrots. There's like, I think what I'm saying is like, be creative, be open to seeing like, well, if something's not working, maybe there's a reason, and then change it up a bit, you know? And I really like what you said about that using frozen vegetables, because I do that in the wintertime, you know, I'll do like a veggie casserole and I'll use like a couple of bags of frozen spinach and I'll saute it up and like make a casserole and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there's just so many different ways to like incorporate healthy food. And as long as you're creative and open, you can find what works for you. Just be experimental.
Yeah. And start small. Like it doesn't have to be a whole complete overhaul. Just start small. Like I love the idea of like definitely incorporating more vegetables, but every person's journey is different. So you just have to find what works for you, because that's the thing that's going to stick. If you try something that works for someone else and it doesn't work, you're probably going to revert back to old ways. So just start small and just do what works for you. Find recipes that you like and you enjoy. And that will be that. That's really the best way to start on any like eating journey.
That's really good advice. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Everyone is different. Don't compare yourself to your friend or your neighbor, or your sister, or your cousin or whatever. You are a unique, whole, perfect person the way you are. And I think that's really important to remember. Don't take my advice. Listen to yourself.
Definitely. I love that.
Yeah. Listen to what you want, because that's what's going to work for you, right? I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us just a little bit of information about what you're about. And if you could just remind our listeners where to find you and any things that you have coming up and how to get in touch with you.
Yeah. So like I said, you can find me on my Facebook page, Cracking the Consistency Code, and on my website, www.sandhyagokul.com.au, where you'll find a lot of like scientific researched papers and articles on there. As a pharmacist, I love making sure everything is scientifically backed, because I don't want to be, you know, giving out information that's wrong. They're the two places I hang out. And I always have little challenges coming up, which you can find in the Facebook group as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
No worries. Thank you so much, Monica. This is such an honor.
Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.